Monday the 29th of December, Zos Chanukah, Dayan Yaakov Yisrael Lichtenstein, Chanukah, the special connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Good morning everybody, and Freilich Zos Chanukah. I have to confess that I'm not going to be speaking about Zos Chanukah. The whole idea of Zos Chanukah is a Chassidish concept, a Chassidish term, although I daven in the Chassidish Bismedrish, I'm not a Chassid. I did want to speak about something else, and the title is the topic of what I would like to speak about today. It starts from just my own he'ora, or my own observation, looking at the Al Hanisim and contrasting the Al Hanisim from Chanukah to Purim. And many have spoken about this, about the Purim is shorter. And it doesn't, of course, go into much detail, but I just want to focus on something else. But just the first couple of words, and I'll show you an interesting difference. Just let me roll back for a moment. Al hanisim v'al hapurkin v'al agvuros v'al atshuos v'al muchamos. We say she'osisa lavoseinu v'ayum mehim b'zbanezeh. So we start off by saying that we're going to be gishvach v'hedor, part of moedim, al hanisim on the miracles. That happened. Shosisa laviseinu. That happened to our forefathers. By Yomimohim Bezmanazer. And then we begin the recital. Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. I'm going to contrast each one for a moment. We start off in the days of Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It itself is a special schmooze. Why we start off with Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol? But that's how it starts. And then on the Purim we start Bimei Mordechai veEsther v'Shush Nabira. So at the moment we have a mirror image of the two histories, and then the next thing, she'omdo malchus yovan harsho, which when the Greeks, the evil Greek kingdom stood up, I'll soon get to what the omdo means, and then it's mirrored in the Purim kishe'omad aleihem homon harosho. So far we're exactly the same. But then we say in Al Hanisim of Chanukah, we say Al Amcho Yisrael. Now, in Purim we don't say that. It says Kshe'omar Leim Homan Arosha. We go straight into the story. Bikesh Lahashmit Ulaharag Laavik. I was always bothered. I mean, the Homan wanted to destroy Amcho Yisrael also. And so, what's the difference? Why in the case of Purim does it not put it in? We don't say Al Amcho Yisrael, which would be grammatically perfectly correct. Amcho Yisrael, I'll tell you, interesting enough, doesn't refer necessarily to Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. I know that you will, and I'll prove it to you. I'm about tefillah on Yom Neroim. So yes, the Kohen Gadol, when he said in the Avodah, he said, "Al Amcho Beis Yisrael." But look how many times in the Tefillah, the Baal Tefillah speaks about Amcho Beis Yisrael. Elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu, heyeim pifiyos, right? Yishai shabishal shluchei Amcho Beis Yisrael, or even in Hineni he'oni mimas, bosi lamoi lefonecho, lishchanin lefonecho, Al Amcho Yisrael. So the term Amcho Yisrael doesn't necessarily mean Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It means Klal Yisrael itself. So the question I always had was, what was so special about Chanukah that whoever wrote the Al Hanisim, and it's quite ancient origin Al Hanisim, put in Kshe'omda Malchus Yovan Hosho Al Amcho Yisrael. Every word in Tefillah is important. There had to have been some purpose for putting in the Al Amcho Yisrael. I'm very happy to invite other possibilities. I just want to develop a thought that I had come to on my own. So I just want to start off with a very famous Medrash. There is a very famous Medrash. The Medrash speaks about in the beginning of Bereishis. Bereishis Boro Lekim Es HaShamayim Ves HaOret. The Torah says, "V'ha'oretz hoisa soyu, v'voyu, v'chushech al pnei sohoim, v'ruach elokim rachefes al pnei hamoim." Says the Medrash this. Listen to how the Medrash says. Omer Reish Lakish, Medrash, the beginning of Reishis, that the psukim, just like Breishis Bore Elohim, and Rashi says that in Breishis Bishvil Yisroel, who are called Reishis, right? That's Bereishis, because of the Reishis Bore Elohim. So the second pasuk learns the Medrash deals with the history, the future history of Klal Yisrael. What is it? Listen to how Medrash put it. Soihu, says the Medrash, that refers to Malchus Bovel, Golus Bovel. Even though it's not in the first, Mitzrayim by states is included in the word Bracious. So Soihu refers to Bovel. Voihu, Soihu by the way means emptiness. Voyu, which I like to always translate as so tumult, mishacht, in Yiddish. I don't even have a proper good word in English. Chaos, maybe the part of that thing. Voyu refers to Malchus Modai. V'choyshech al p'nei sehoim, choyshech refers, as the Medrash refers to Malchus Yavon. Shehechshichu einayen shel Yisrael b'gzeiros sein. They darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael with the Gzeiros, that they made a rule. The edict they promulgated was that Kisvu lochem al keren hashor, you shall write on the ox horns that ein lochem chelik v'nachla be'elokei Yisrael. You have no portion elokei Yisrael. Maybe we'll have time to discuss that. But the choyshek refers to Malchus Yavam. And the last thing, which is the ruach elik, soil voye v'choyshech al pnei tohoim, and tohoim refers to Malchus Edom. Now, why exactly does each one refer to thing? Is the Meforshim explained, and the Medrash also really says. It says like this: Toihu refers to Bavel. Why? What's the connection with Toihu and Bavel? Toihu means emptiness. Emptiness means pust, garnish, nothing. And the pasuk in Yeshaya says, it describes, Hein Eretz Kazdim, it's been speaking about Bavel, Zelehoy, as if they didn't exist. The meaning is this, the meaning is that Bavel didn't have any philosophy at all. Bavel was just out to conquer. It was pust, there was nothing, no substance to Bavel itself. They were empty. Because they didn't have any real philosophy to them. In fact, even today, the term in many places, the term Babylonian refers to living a very hedonistic lifestyle, living a pust garnished. That is Bovel. Boyhu means mixed up. Who's that? That refers to Modai. Why is it referred to Modai? So he brings a pasuk vayavhilu lohavi es Haman. Strange. And when they went to bring Haman, they came to drag Haman. Unfortunately, I saw in one of the beautiful pshat in the Ber Yosef from Yosef Slatko, says a little bit better. He says the Gemara says about Achashverosh. Gemara has a funny term. What is it? Achashverosh hafach b'chon hoya. Hafach b'chon was he's a mixed up man. What does it mean, a mixed up man? So he said he killed his wife because of his friend, and he killed his friend because of his wife. The Hainu, he killed Vashti because of Haman, and then he killed Haman because of Esther. As he were a he was a confused, a mixed up individual. Voyu means there are some values, but it's all mixed together, the various types of values. So that's why Modai is called Voyu. So it's not empty, but it's mixed up. Pezizim, the Gemara says. There's a Rashi says in Megillah that Ilmoli Yigurus Rishonus LeNishtayim Yisrael Shel Yisrael Sorry to Paul. Rashi says that they were Modai was known for its pezizus, for its haste. They would begin to fulfill things even without thinking things through. Not unlike certain governments today. Yavon. Now the next one. Choyshech al pnei sohan. Here we get to the hard one. Yavon is called choyshech, darkness, because hechshichu einein shel Yisrael b'gzeiris dein. Now we already have a difference. Yavon is not pust. Yavon is not empty. Yavon has a philosophy. Yavon is not famished. Yavon is not tzatumul. They're not mixed up. They know exactly what they want. Yavon is a clear philosophy. Even today, we shouldn't study, but there is the study of Greek philosophy is, of course, a major discipline. Yavon is a philosophy. Yavon knows what they want. They're not toyu or voyu. And it's a funny thing to call them choyshech. If you speak to someone who studied Greek philosophy, he'll tell you, punkt faker, just the opposite. He'll tell you that that the philosophy enlightens him. Well, we don't look at it that way. we don't look at it even like faker. Yavon was hechshichu in Yisrael. They darkened up Xerusei. Actually, I want to just pause here for a moment. Interesting thing. You know, we speak about Yavon. Technically speaking, the story of Chanukah was not Yavon, really. I mean, it was a derivative of Yavon. It was Assyrian. Antiochus Epiphany was really, you know, historically was not. It was a derivative of the breakup of the kingdom of Alexander Mokdon. No. Yet, as far as we're concerned, we always refer to it as Yavon. And the reason is because Yavon was not interested in a material conquest, in a physical conquest at all. What they were interested in was a spiritual conquest. And Mele, there they derived their arms were different arms altogether. Their battle was a different battle altogether. It was a spiritual, it was intellectual, moral battle. And that came, that emanated from Yavon. That's why it's always referred to as Yavon. So Yavon is referred to as Hechshichu es Bnei Yisrael b'Zerusein. Let's just stop here for a moment. We can understand, I would say, call it if you want, like the anti-Semitism of Babel. Babel was interested in conquering. Was a simple case of conquering the Yidden. They needed like any other country conquers. Modai was a bit different story. It was the Jews were within Poras, within, and Haman, in typical anti-Semitism, wanted to just get rid of the Jews in his midst. What was Yavon's game? What bothered Yavon? Yavon's not out to destroy. They're out. In fact, it's an interesting thing. It's the first time in history where the Jews are faced with, I would call it, a religious persecution. The Rediffus Hadass, as you call it, where the Klal Yisrael is not faced now with a physical persecution. It is, they're faced with a spiritual persecution. But what's their game? Was gate they on? What bothered the Anshei Yavon that the Jews should live as Jews? What was bothering them? And let's look at their plot. Their plot was they were out to destroy three things: Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. Many Mepharshim discuss it, but let's just analyze it on this very simple method. And we'll soon extrapolate from it what their real intention was. Let's look at the things. Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is that we say Eidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but not everybody says Eidus. The Goyim have adapted something as their Sabbath, but as far as we're concerned, the only ones who are kosher to say this Eidus is Klal Yisrael. In fact, Akum Sheshavas is Chayim Bisa. Goy has no right to say it. The right to say this Eidus is only given to the Yidden. Mila. Mila is, what is Mila? Again, it's a sign of a connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was given only to the Yidden. Rambam writes that the Esav is not mechuyev in Mila at all. No Mila. And even those that did have Mila didn't have Mila in Priya. But Bris, which is the sign, is also given only to Yidden. Both of these things, Shabbos and Bris, are very indicative of a special connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chodesh is the same thing. Who the Chodesh, which was the right to and the power to destruct the calendar, you know the Gemara in Yerushalmi says that the power to make the calendar is such a strong power it can even actually change the Teva. I'm not going to go into all the details, but Chazal say that the power to, and who's it given over to? Chodesh Elohim. It's given over to Klal Yisrael. Let's just stop here. We can understand. Look, now, just let's put yourself in the Yevonim's shoes. The Yevonim consider themselves the greatest philosophers, the highest culture in the world. Everybody else recognizes it, except there's one nation that claims, no, I'm sorry, you can think what you want. We have our own Messiah. We've got our own beliefs. They were jealous of us. The Yevonim were jealous. There's a beautiful Medrash. Medrash says a story that one famous Greek philosopher was also a scientist, and he wanted to discover how long is the gestation period for snakes? How long does it take for snakes reproduce? So, as a good scientist, he got himself a box and he put the snakes in there. And he waited for 7 years. He observed for 7 years till finally, Baruch Hashem, whatever. Sorry, huh? But he now knows how long it takes a snake to reproduce. Very impressive, his patience. 7 years, easily. It says that he met one of the Tanoim, Rishua ben Hananya, and he told him, "Guess what I've discovered? I've discovered how long it takes for a snake to reproduce in 7 years." So he says, "A grace of glick." He said, "We know that." I said, "What do you mean you know that?" He brought some psukim. I'll go to the whole drush of the psukim. And from the psukim, he says, "You know, 7 years." He says, "You knew this?" He says, "Yes." And how do you know that? He knows from the Torah. The Gemara says, "Biyad." He got so upset. He piach. It's Rosh Hashanah. He knocked his head and he got so upset. He says, "What is this?" He says, "I wait for 7 years. I'm the shmo, sitting by the box waiting. And you, in one moment, you know it." There was a certain jealousy that they had. The jealousy, you might call it intellectual jealousy, you can call it a spiritual jealousy, but there was a jealousy. And the jealousy was that they realized that they didn't have a special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what bothered them. And the only way they realize they're going to get rid of that is by making gzeiros, severing the special things that indicate, that display the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yidden. That's why they chose these three things: Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. You know, I'll tell you an interesting thing. When you speak about Hanukkah, people are unaware of the Bach in the Torah, Tafri Shayin, says an interesting thing. We speak about the story of Hanukkah. The idea that we always think is that the Yevonim, we went into the Beis HaMikdash, they made a churm, they made a destruction, they ransacked the whole place, they made everything tomei, not deliberately, but they were in their haste and in their the Bach says no. The Bach brings a Mayim Chazal, where one of the famous Goyim told the Yevonim that if you want to destroy the Yidden, you better destroy their Hadlokas Neiros. That's the source of their of and therefore Vitimu Chol Ashmanim. The Bach says they deliberately went around being metame every single vial of oil to make sure that the Yidden wouldn't be able to light the menorah. Why? Because they knew the menorah was a symbol of Torah. They knew with the Hadlokas Neiros that that Lucas Nero somehow gave a spiritual charge to the Yidden, kept their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah going, and that's what they wanted to destroy. They wanted to make sure, they wanted to undercut that connection of the Yidden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was their goal. I saw, I think one of the footnotes on Rabbi Yosef, he says, an interesting pshat, he says, it's his own theory, but it makes a lot of sense. All the Mephoshim speak about, they ask the famous question, why didn't they light the Tumut de Keshemen? The din is Tumut Chuyot, Tumut Utra B'tzibur, Al-Pi Al-Lochi, you can do it. He says, it's true. Mi'ika ha-din, one may light Shemen Shel Menorah, that is Tumut. But there would be a problem. The problem is that without the Tahara, without the Tor, the special connection that the Sherman gives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wouldn't be around. They'd be missing the plot. If they would be lighting it, they'd be fulfilling the technical mitzvah, they wouldn't be doing it b'tahara, they wouldn't have the connection of Torah. So going back to this, so the Yevonim were extremely jealous of the Yidden, and this is what they wanted to undercut by the Shabbos, Chodesh, and the Mila, by doing these three things. Because these three things, I said, display the connection. And the way they wanted to do it was, all they had to do is outlaw these three things. I think, if you look, going back to just how we started off, we may met the show ben Yerchman Koyin Godel Hashbunu Yevonov, Kshomdo Malchus Shom Harsha. The literal translation of Omdo is what Omdo means, they stood up. But actually, it means a bit more. They persisted. Omda is, it became not stam a mikra that they got up and did something. It became their whole goal. They were determined. Omda means when someone is determined to do something, you're standing up to get that done. That's Omda. And you know what their Omda was? Their Omda was Al Amcho Yisrael. That's exactly what they wanted to cut away. The Pasuk, Amcho Yisrael is a perfectly legitimate expression. The Pasuk says, Voyisi lachem lelokim, v'atem tiuli le'om. Yes, it's true, we're Amcho Yisrael. But what the mechaber of this piyut is trying to get to is, he's trying to explain that was the intention, the Amcho Yisrael, the fact that we are Kodesh Baruch Hu's nation, that's what he wanted to sever. And that's not by Purim, that wasn't the issue. One wanted to destroy Kol Yisrael, but whether they belong to the Rabbeinu Shlom, they don't belong to the Rabbeinu Shlom, that wasn't important. The Yevonim were, and how are they going to do it, the Yevonim? And it says two things. Lahashkicham perasecho, ulahaviram mechukei ritzenecho. First thing they wanted to do is, they wanted to forget the Torah, by severing the connection of Klal Yisrael with Torah. They wanted to make sure that the Torah would be forgotten. Limud haTorah. Rambam in his explanation says that is they wanted the oisik b'mitzvos, they wanted also limud haTorah to stop. Ulaviram mechukei ritzenecho. What is a chukei ritzenecho? Chukim, I saw in one of the Mephoshim, chukim are the hardest thing for goyim to tolerate. You know, I sometimes speak to rabbonim, and especially in modern kehillahs, and they are very nervous about talking about chukim. It's very easy, you know. We will we'll speak about mishpatim. We'll speak about a lot of the easy things that are easy to explain, kibud of aim, etc., etc. When it comes to chukim are the things that you can't explain. Then he says they're a bit nervous. He says the oilam doesn't understand it, etc. I said, you know what? You're falling into a goyish trap. The goyim don't like chukim. Chukim don't make sense. Well, why are you doing them, the chukim? The chukim aggravates the goyim more than even the mishpatim. Ulahaviram mechukei ritzenecho. They wanted to sever the links, and they focused on the hook. Because what bothered them was, when I spoke about the connection, the worst thing that was in the Yevonim's eyes was the Tara and the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. What do they have? We say, you know, very often we speak about Amcha Yisrael, we say Ke'am Kodosh Atah Hashem Lekecha. Our special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reflected in the Kedusha and Tara of Yidin. That bothers them. They want to be Metamedet. They have a big problem to deal with Kedusha and Tara. What's interesting is, let's go a little bit further. I said there are four. The last one was Al Pnei Sohoim. Who does Al Pnei Sohoim refer to? Al Pnei Sohoim refers to Malchus Edoim. Malchus Edoim is a bit strange. Okay, we've explained Toyu, Voyu, Choyshech. Choyshech, there's a reason for it. But what about Malchus Edoim? Why does Malchus Edoim hate us? They're not out to conquer us. We're not. We don't live among them. They are. There's no clash in philosophies like there are with the Yevonim. They hate us simply because we're a Jew. Edom has no reason. Does not need any reason. Edom what fights Ayid, Bala as Ayid. That is Edom. And what about any Sibah? The Medrash says, the Medrash continues, I think, V'ruach Elohim rachefes al pnei amoyim. So what can you do during Malchus Edoim? There's nothing you, if somebody hates you because you exist, just because you are you, not because of anything you did, or not because of anything you're trying to do, only because you're you, what can you do? And the Medrash says, you're right, there's nothing I can do. V'ruach Elohim rachefes al pnei amoyim, says the Medrash, that is Mashiach. Because the only thing that can actually help in such a case is Mashiach. Medrash continues that the only way, and of course we're going to bring Mashiach through tshuva. So what we have is an interesting thing. We have almost a progression. It starts off, the first case of the anti-Semitism, I said, is the Soyu. The Soyu, it was not really against the Jews because of anything special, but they had their land. The Voyu is against the anti-Semitism that's present. The Choyshech is already a philosophical, a spiritual thing. But the worst is Tohoim. Tohoim is an abyss, and nothing there. There's no reason. No garnish. But they hate them just because and that's been unfortunately, when we look at it, that's been our history for the last 2,000 years. We've been persecuted for no other reason than the fact that we're Jew. Just one last thing. I said we start off with Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It's an interesting shaila in the Mefarshim. Who was the Kohen Gadol? Is Matisyo the Kohen Gadol? Yochanan was the Kohen Gadol. I won't go into in that. But why pick Matisyo? And Matisyo is in a sense, when you look at the story of Hanukkah, Matisyo was actually almost, I wouldn't say a marginal figure, but a very small amount. There was Yudah Maccabee, everything else happened afterwards. And yet everything is given to you. So there's a medrash. The medrash says on the posuk, "Va'av gam zois." It says, and for all of that, says the posuk says, "The biyosem beretzayveim loy ma'astim loy ge'altim." I will. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "The end of Teicha, I won't despise you, reject you. I won't despise you." So the medrash says, "Who is this? That I put for you? I set up Matisyo in the times of Yevonim." What was Matisyo? Why Matisyo? Matisyo had the one thing. Matisyo had the courage. Matisyo was, you're right, it didn't do much, but he began. He started it off. He started the revolution. He had the courage to stand up for that. And that's why the whole thing is credited to Bimei Matisyo Bin Yechanan Koyin Gorul. Matisyo gets the credit. He was the one who stopped the severance of the connection to Amcha Yisrael. And that's why Machshavah is given the credit.